Okay, here we go. We're on page Reish Lamed Aleph, Ha'ofen Ha'asrim Ve'echad, the 21st tool. Okay, now, let's preface this with a secular statement attributed to Rich Raffalo, a motivational speaker, and he said, in life there are no overachievers, only underestimators. How do you like that line?
Sounds good.
Okay. Anyway, you'll see how this all fits into this. This tool is going to teach us about a phenomena that enables a person to reach spiritual levels way beyond those he's actually capable of reaching at the present time. And how he does it is a two-step process. Ha'ofen ha'esrim ve'echadu, the 21st tool is cheshbon ha'nefesh al odom lasos la'asol la'esa dargu yochol l'giya b'avras Hashem. Is a spiritual calculation that a person should make for himself as to what level is he able to reach in service to Hashem. And this is done in two steps. V'yargil es atzmo t'chila la'avodas Hashem shehik. First, he has to habituate himself, get him accustomed initially to serve Hashem in the way that he is capable of, and to diligently engage in it. And he should run and be alacritous to do it until it becomes his nature. Okay? First, you know, you should determine what you really feel you're capable of reaching based on where you are now. Person can tell what he's able to really do if he puts some effort. That's number one. Then comes step two. Once you're comfortably resting in your present maximum level that you're at now, then try to reach higher levels b'avodas Hashem in service of Hashem shem lamala miyachalto that are truly beyond your capabilities. V'yishtoikek b'libo l'gialem and yearn in your heart to reach them. V'sachnein b'machshavto kesagzon, you prepare in your mind how you're going to reach those things beyond your abilities. V'yavakesh, and here's the critical point. V'yavakesh me'akel b'chenus b'libo u'b'matzpuno, and he has to ask from Hashem with an honest heart, kenus libo, with an honest heart, u'b'matzpuno, and from the inner part of his heart, to really, really want it, shiyazrlo, to help him, v'yametzes kocho lalos ledargos, she'milamal me'echolto, to give him the strength to reach levels that are truly beyond his ability, b'yadia, Ubamaisa, of what he's knowledgeable now and what he's able to actually achieve. You daven Hashem for that to happen, to go higher than you're able to do this. V'kasherhu yasas ostomit. If you constantly do this, you constantly pray to Hashem. Hashem, this is the most I could be, but I would like to be more than this. Then what happens is a very great miracle happens. Habore yamale espakasha, so the Creator fulfills his desires, v'yiftachlo eshari yidiyoso, and he opens up the gates of his knowledge, v'yachasek esichlo, and he strengthens his intellect, v'seivorov, and his body parts, lalos darga achrei darga, to rise level after level, b'kiyum ha-mitzvahs, in the fulfillment of mitzvahs, shehen lamala miyacholto, that were presently beyond his ability, but now he'll able to make it. Kemo shenemar, as the prophet Isaiah says, Ani Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your Lord. Melamedcha lahoil, I teach you for your benefit. Madrichecha, I guide you. Bederech teilech, in the way in which one should be able to go. So, this is what you have to happen. Hashem wants us all to grow. He starts giving us certain talents. He says, okay, I've given you these talents. Can you reach your potential? Person is capable of reaching his potential. That is step one. Now, that's very difficult. Person has to be honest what his potential is. Once the person literally feels he's maxed out on that potential, Hashem will not let the person stagnate at that level, but he wants to hear the person's feelings about this. If the person says, I'm happy where I'm at, you know, then Hashem will say, okay, I'm going to leave it the way it is. But if you want to grow further and you want to see levels that are beyond you, and you're crying to Hashem and you're saying, Hashem, please, I want to be more, then Hashem will not let you stay in that position. He'll help you move to the next one. But, and this is the golden rule, that Hashem only gives you what you truly need and honestly desire. So if you want to be more than what you are, and it's, you know, it's realistic. Obviously, if you want to say you want to be Moshe Rabbeinu, that's not going to happen. But Hashem can give you this. And that's why we started with this statement. In life, there are no overachievers, only underestimators, which is really important. So now he's going to give you, I believe, an analogy. Oh, no, he doesn't. I give the analogy. This I heard from my Rosh Yeshiva. A king offered a handsome treasure to anyone who could climb a ladder that had 1,000,000 steps. And they saw how high the ladder went, and nobody made the effort to try it because they knew it was impossible. So one clever person says, listen, the king is not interested in teasing us. If he has promised a treasure for the person who succeeds in climbing the ladder, there's got to be a way to get to the top. So what happens? So one person, who's the clever guy, he starts to climb the ladder. He climbs 1,000 steps. He's exhausted. He really can't climb anymore. And he sees there's another 999,000 steps. So he knows he's used like 99.9% of his strength on less than 0.1% of what has been accomplished. He perseveres, though. He climbs another 10 steps. Okay, you know, he's momish. His legs are buckling. He says, I don't get it. There's got to be a way to do this. So now he makes one supreme effort. It takes all his koiches to get one more step. Okay, and now he has stepped step 1,011. And unbeknownst to him, the king has secretly placed powerful magnet at the very top of the ladder that's able to catch somebody who's on step 1,011. So as the moment that his foot touched that step, he was pulled all the way to the top by the magnetic pull. That's the example Rav Gifter Zichron Levracha gave. I don't know who he heard it from, but that's who he gave from. Anyway, that same mechanism works when we're talking about spiritual development. When you try to break your limit, Hashem will pull you higher. And you're worried about the pragmatics. That's what's called siyata d'shmaya. Okay? Let's give another good example. You know, every time you bring a new child into the world and raise the child properly, you've done a mitzvah. So let's say a family we'll call the Schwartzes. They are capable of raising two children properly, and they're doing a very good job. Then they consider having a third child. Now, they look at it logically, and they say, you know, this isn't going to be working. We only have a two-bedroom apartment. We only have so much patience. We only have so much strength. And more importantly, we only have so much money. And therefore, we're not going to have any more children. So Hashem says, okay, you know, you're absolutely right. You don't have more patience. You don't have more strength. You don't have more money. You're happy with that? So fine. You're going to be there. But if they say, you know what? But the Ratzon of Hashem is every new child you bring into the world, you can bring more Kedusha into the world. And you know what? Although we don't have the ability to do more now, we're going to beg Hashem to give us the ability to have more. Then Hashem will give you more talents and resources than you ever thought that you have. Now, obviously, this is something you have to discuss with a Rav to help with weighty issues. And there could be, let's say, some serious mental issues. You know, you don't want the parents to go mentally crazy over this. But that's another example that people who aren't married and don't have kids, they wonder how we have kind of a family of 9 kids and how we were able to raise 9 kids. And the answer is we didn't. Hashem did. Every time we needed, we figured that's about all we have the koyach for. We said, Hashem wants us to have more. So then whatever, the money came, the ability came. And matter of fact, with experience, we even became better parents. So that's the point. But there's one caveat to all this. While you're looking to go beyond your limits, take it slow. Only look at the very next itty-bitty level afterwards. Don't look to jump 10 steps at a time, because then you're going to crash. You don't deserve divine assistance until you prove yourself at every level. So if, let's say, you have two kids. You say, okay, we have two kids. Now we want to have nine kids. We want seven in the next pregnancy. You know, Hashem says, no, you're an idiot. You can't handle going from two to nine. I'll give you one more, and you'll handle the one more. Let's see how you do with that. So that's the point over there. So you got to see what your maximum level is. So therefore, the exercise that we would want to do at this point of the game is, we have to ask ourselves, where do you want to be in terms of accomplishment in a specific area? Now, there's many different areas in one's life, as we'll see. There's learning, there's chesed, there's davening. Okay, so the question is, how much can I do now? Where am I now? All right? And try to be the best of where you're at now. Now, if this is where I'm at, now, so let's take davening, right? How are you davening? What level of accomplishment are you at now? What further level could you reach? Now, obviously, you'd want to be able to daven the whole davening with kavana, right? But the truth of the matter is, I'm just saying theoretically, the person may have zero kavana during davening, doesn't even come on time to daven, leaves early from davening. So obviously that's the level he's at right now. What's he capable of, right? So are you at least capable of coming on time? Are you capable of reading one tefillah with kavana, right? Once you do that, then at least, and right now you say, I'm not capable of davening even kavana one paragraph. So you have to ask Hashem to help you with that idea. Okay, so this is the beginning of what we're talking about. So now he's going to give us an example to work us through this. Let me give you an example, similarly, from a person who's learning to do a type of work or a type of trying to acquire certain wisdom. You want to gain some of these new perspectives or ideas. So, when a person learns how to do a job, he can do part of it, based on his understanding. But it's less than what he's capable of. When his strength, with his intelligence gets stronger, I'm going to turn the page, and he becomes diligent with his work, then Hashem gives the person wisdom to understand the secrets of the trade and all its general rules. And then he's able to come up with ideas, new things that he didn't learn from anybody. Right? That's in any line of work. You know, in accounting, you know, before a person actually works in an accounting firm, he doesn't know anything. Right? But there's a lot he can know, and then he does that, and then what? Then after a while, he really knows the malach of accounting, then he comes up with his own chidushim that he never would have come up had he not been a good accountant with all this learning and experience. So that is an obvious rule of life that we all can understand. Similarly, a person who learns wisdom. Let's say a person who's learning geometry. Teacher can't initially teach him the theoretical aspects of geometry. He first teaches the practical geometry, based on the pictures. You know, first you learn triangles, squares, parallelograms, that's simple geometry. Then there's much higher level geometry. I don't even know myself, you know, physics beyond, I don't know. But you got to start with the easy stuff before the hard stuff. Like Euclid, that's the guy who, Euclidus is Euclid. Euclid and he did a book on geometry. When you know the practical, I guess there's practical geometry and then there's theoretical geometry. And then once he's got the practical geometry, He wants to give himself over with great diligence for new things that he could learn from that. Then he can figure out the theoretical geometry. And then it strengthens that base of overall knowledge. Then you come up with theoretical ideas that are so refined, adin, refined, that it's almost similar to prophecy. In other words, there's all kinds of, I totally am out of this parsha, but there's all kinds of understandings, scientific understandings that are so theoretical, and they're beyond any regular human being's comprehension. So how did you get there? Well, you started with a very simple physical geometry to get to that level. So it is with other wisdom. When a person gives himself over to learn them, he finds a spiritual strength, a supernal spiritual strength within himself, that nobody could put it in that except it comes by itself within the person. Therefore, our rabbi says, Chacham Adam Enafi. A wise person is even greater than a prophet. Eliyahu Amar, and Eliyahu says, Ochein Ruachi Benosh, that there is a spirit in a person, V'nishma Shakai Tivinem, and the soul of God gives them intelligence. This is what you can get. It comes from Hashem. This is in all areas where people can grow well beyond, but you first have to do the ground level before you can get the next level. Okay. That's really the first part of this concept. Now let's go to part two. Okay? Part two, the Chovas HaVavas, I was going to focus on a specific area in terms of the growth process. And he's going to explain this two-step process as it applies to the relationship between physical mitzvahs and Chovas HaVavas and duties of the heart, which he's now going to show you. This is the whole premise of his whole book. The whole time, there's two ways of looking at the mitzvahs. And similar to this example, my brother, you have to understand the following. The main purpose of mitzvahs that are placed on the body parts, in other words, the main reason we do physical mitzvahs is in order to arouse the person to fulfill the mitzvahs that are placed on the heart. What's hidden? Because that's the foundation. Because really, Avodas Hashem is based on what's in your heart. And that's the root of all Torah, as the pasuk says in Dvarim. As Hashem lokechatira oso tavod, you shall fear Hashem and serve Him. And it says, kikara velecha davar mo b'picha v'chol lasoso. And this thing is very close in your mouth and in your heart to do it. The Namar also says, what does Hashem want from you? But to fear Him. So you see that even though there's a lot of physical mitzvahs, there are still, the real goal is the feelings you have inside towards Hashem. Okay? So physical mitzvahs done without any love for Hashem cannot be compared to those that are done for Hashem. And that's the same in even human relationships. A spouse or a friend can do a lot of things for their significant others, but if those actions aren't accompanied by feelings and an emotional connection, the quality of the relationship is missing. If it gets those feelings and emotions, it takes a quantum leap forward. So that's the idea. And so therefore, the physical actions are meant to arouse the spiritual side of the person. So it's easy to do physical mitzvahs, but the duties of the heart, as it were, seem to be beyond our control. How can I love Hashem? You know, I can blow a shofar, I can light candles, but how does that have me love Hashem and trust Him? That's already a very big leap beyond that, all right? And that probably is a big a challenge in relationships as well. So let's see what he's going to say. When we cave in, she came in mitzvah samatulas ala leiv. Val mutzvun hu lamala mikochas adam. And since the fulfillment of the mitzvahs that are placed on the heart and the recesses inside, the feeling love and close to Hashem is really beyond what a person is capable of doing. Sheyev shol lakaim osam at sheyifrosh mitavosov abahamis rabbas. Because you can't get there until you separate yourself from your animalistic desires. As long as you want to be a behemoth, you can't love Hashem. Until you conquer your nature and bridle your actions. There Hashem gave us body mitzvahs that we can do. Since you could do physical mitzvahs relatively easy, then you can do, then it will be easier. Then you can do the ones on the heart. In other words, you first have to do the physical actions. That is much easier. And if you do them really well, to the best of your ability, then you can move on to the next step and you could work on the duties of the heart to love Hashem and to fear Hashem and to feel Hashem. Okay, when a person makes great effort to fulfill the mitzvahs of the heart, also, and keeps them to his ability, then Hashem opens up a gate of all other higher levels. And then he reaches levels that are way beyond that he could ever have done. Kach, to the point, that he can mamish serve Hashem with his body and soul, so with its outward and inward aspects. As David said, my heart and my flesh sing to the living God. Okay, so that's what we first have to do. We have to make all the efforts first in the physical realm. And when you're completely doing every physical mitzvah properly, then you start working on feeling close to Hashem. And then once you're really working on there, then all of a sudden all kinds of areas open up to you. Ukvar nasnu mashal, they gave an analogy. Lema oved Hashem doma. What's a servant of Hashem compared to? L'adam shenata eitzim kidei lahanas acher kach perasem. A person who plants trees in order to enjoy the fruits. Im adam ze oker tchilas hasavim harayim misaviv l'shosh eitzim. If the first pulls out all the bad weeds that would be around the trees, umenakas adam, and he plows and cleans out the earth really good. He gets rid of the thorns and the weeds. Then umashke esha'etzim is mandarash, and then he waters the trees as appropriately. Umazabel some and gives them fertilizes them. Hu yachol akavas, he can hope acher kach afterwards elokim yisparach that Hashem will help the miracle of growth. Sheatzbiachol meitzim peres, that from these trees will come fruits. But if he hides himself from really working on the trees properly, as explained, and to supervise them, there's no hope that he's going to get any fruits. So this is a servant to Hashem. If the person is alacritous and does his best that he is really capable of doing, then Hashem will help him to achieve things that are beyond his ability. This is the fruit, that this elevated, amazingly coveted fruit that Hashem gives to his choice ones in this world. As our rabbi Sanovas called Makaima Satorma, only anyone who keeps the Torah out of poverty, so Vulakaima Yosha will eventually keep it from in wealth. What does that mean? Look at the Pisrei Lev on the bottom. What does it mean in poverty? That he shemekametz mishol sov. He's very stingy with his hours. Umeiniach es melachto. In other words, he doesn't spend so much time working. He needs to work a certain amount of hours for parnasa. So what does he do? He works less hours and he becomes a little bit impoverished. Why? Kidei lekayim benasa Torah mitzvahs. Because they do Torah mitzvahs. V'lomei Torah. He learns Torah mekayim mitzvahs. Now he's learning Torah out of pressure. Yeah, he could have been working normal hours. He would have been very physically fine, but spiritually very weak. So what is he? Now he's spiritually stronger, but he's financially weak. At the end, he's gonna serve Hashem out of wealth. Why? Ki al yidei shiya osher, because once he's going to be wealthy, yilo harbe panai lasam gudar, he'll have a lot of time to learn Torah, lekai mitzvahs, and do mitzvahs. Because the income will be greatly, you don't have to work. In other words, this is the tool. If a person, it sounds very counterintuitive to the secular world, but the Chovas Ovas is saying, work less, learn more, make less, then what will Hashem do? He'll give you more money, and you're even going to work less, and you're going to be able to learn Torah more. That's Pshat, his Pshat in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Ever who learns Torah out of poverty will eventually learn it out of wealth. It's all part of the structure. Do the most you can do, and then Hashem will help you with the rest. And our rabbis have said, Torah mevela de maisa. Torah brings to actions. Maisa mevela de zahiros. Action springs to alacrity. Does this sound a little familiar? It's the beginning of the Sefer Mesillas Yesharim. It's all based on that statement of, I believe, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa or whoever was the Rebbe. Zahiros mevela de zrizus. Watchfulness brings to alacrity. Zrizus mevela de precious. Alacrity brings to abstinence. Precious mevela de nekius. Abstinence brings to cleanliness, nekius mevela de tahara, cleanliness, spiritual cleanliness, to purity, tahara mevela de chasidus, purity brings to righteousness, chasidus gedol, mekul, and chasidus is greater than all them, shenemar, oz dibarta, bechazan, chazecha, then Hashem speaks in a vision to his chasidim. Next page, last paragraph. Achim hu misal mimash esh becholta, but if he hides himself from what he's capable of achieving, venus es mashe bekocha, and doesn't even achieve what he can do, Hashem doesn't help him. He doesn't give him any strength in avodas Hashem. The pasuk says in Mishlei, "Rochak Hashem mirasham." Hashem is far away from the wicked. And also Yeshaya says, "Avonasechem hayim avdilim beinchem lebein Eloheichem." Your sins have created a barrier between you and your God. Okay, so therefore, again, the point is, how do we do all this? Number one, work on an area which you are totally in control of, the mitzvahs of the body. Try to do them as much as you can and grow in that. And you dream of eventually feeling close to Hashem. And then Hashem will help you with things that are beyond your ability, right? You do the mitzvahs the best way you can and leave the rest to Hashem. So we just finished the whole Yomim Noraim period. And we, all of us, maybe were a little bit better than we usually are. You know, maybe some of us checked our mezuzahs and elul during Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Maybe some people work a little higher standards of kashrus, pas yisrael, chol yisrael. Even though we'll go back to those regular standards afterwards. Why do we do all that? Why do we do all those extra things? And then afterwards, to try to at least do our best in the physical mitzvahs, if only for a brief time. Why? To awaken the feelings that ought to be going on inside of us. When we do mitzvahs in the best way, it does awaken those certain feelings inside when we really do them well. So therefore, the tool that we have to focus on, even if it's after Yom Kippur, it's, you know, we made certain commitments, some resolutions. So let's look at, let's say, three physical mitzvahs, or maybe even only one, that needs improvement. And it's in your control to do it perfectly. And you have to commit yourself that you're going to do them as good as you can, as if you did it for God, a God that you passionately trusted. And you have to make the effort, spend the money, study all about those mitzvahs. At that same point, bemoan the fact that you don't feel like loving and trusting Hashem. You want to dream for the day that you actually mean what you say when you daven to Hashem, and you mamish really feel it's not just, okay, I'm doing it because Hashem said so. And then, only then do you achieve this breakthrough. And that breakthrough is something that is even beyond what you normally could have had. You have to have a lot of bitachon that this is able to happen. Usually people don't get into projects that they don't think are successful. But if here the Chofetz Chaim is giving you the tools, try your best, absolute best in something, and to know you're the best, and to say, and I'm doing it as if I love Hashem so much, and you pray that you should feel a love for Hashem, and you want this more than you want the Blue Jays winning the pennant, then you're going to see that Hashem will gift this to you, and then you'll be able to be not an overachiever, but somebody who underestimated what he's really capable of doing.